Okay, we continue. We're still in Siman Resh Mem Beis Sif Aleph. We're in the Mishnah Berurah, the middle of Sif Katan Dalid, where the Shulchan Aruch is discussing you have to minimize the food you eat during the weekday in order to have more money for food, more food on the Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah brought down the idea that all the money we make during the year is decided on Rosh Hashanah, except for the expenses that we spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we discussed that issue. So now the Mishnah Berurah continues. He says, Lovin, it's a mitzvah to borrow money, even beribis, even on interest, L'tzorech sudas Shabbos, for the needs of your Shabbos meals, O sudas mitzvah, or mitzvah meals, let's say a meal on Rosh Chodesh or Bris Milah or something like that, even though you're very much pressed and you're going to have to borrow with interest, still and all, there's a mitzvah for you to do that to fulfill this mitzvah. V'hainu me'ein Yehudi, that's to borrow interest from a non-Jew, or mi'Yisrael b'derech heter, or from a Jew in a permissible way, as we've already learned, if you do a heter iska. Now, next point. Im shoch lulo dvar machol, if someone sends him some food as a gift, whatever, and their intention was, when they gave it to you, she'ochlenu b'Shabbos, and you should eat it on Shabbos, then lo yochlenu b'chol, you shouldn't eat on a weekday because they didn't send it to you for that purpose. Kein kosev a sefer chasidim. So it says in the sefer chasidim. Okay. Now, let's take a look before we even go on. There's a piece ketuv on that. So even though the Mishnah says you shouldn't do that, the Pisketchu brings down a machlokas in the poskim if it's a prohibition to do this, or it's just not a midas chasidus, it's not a righteous way to behave. But in all aspects, if you really don't need it for Shabbos, because if you have enough, let's say you have enough for Shabbos, the guy thought you didn't have enough, and he gives you it for Shabbos, so if you, and if you're going to leave it until Shabbos, the next Shabbos, I have for this Shabbos. And if, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave it for the following Shabbos? Well, then it's going to get spoiled. Yeah. Or you don't usually eat such a food like this on Shabbos. It's too luxurious for you. Then you can eat on the weekday. And if you want, you can fulfill the mitzvah with it, the mitzvah of Tu'amel Chaim Zochu on Erev Shabbos, which is always permitted, you know, to taste something from the foods of Shabbos. You should also know, these words were only said if someone else gives him something and he gave it for covered Shabbos, then you're allowed to change. But let's say yourself, you bought it something or you designate this food for Shabbos, you can always change your mind and have it on a weekday. That's already, because you see that with Shammai, remember? Shammai would buy something on Sunday, he found something nice on Monday, he changed that. So it's lav dafka, you have to find something nicer. But in other words, when you designate something for Shabbos, it's not like, you know, giving something to the Beis Hamikdash. Oh, okay. Or it's like you designate for tzedakah. Okay. Anyway, so you can eat this food. Let's continue in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah now says, V'ayin lakam and simen tov reish tzadi dalet sif beis. Look further on. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Das of Shulchan Aruch Shem over there, the Shulchan holds the Ha'ani, that a poor person, let's say he gets money for his needs for a Purim Suda, Yochol Lishanos B'migbas Purim Lama Sheyirtza. Okay, he can change. What's he changing over here? What's the
using it for other things?
He can change it from Purim needs Lama Sheyirtza for what else he needs. After Gavul Tzarech Purim, if they collected for Purim needs. So that would be the same thing over here, that he could eat on the weekday, even though he sent it for Shabbos. Okay, Gam Shom Yesh Machmer Zera. However, even there are those who are strict. And look in the Torah, that he holds it's usher for an ani, you change what it was collected for. If a guy gave it to you for Purim, you can't change it for that. Okay. Sifkotten hay. Now, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. We have to go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Mitakonas Ezra, from the times of Ezra, he made a takana. Shiyu mechapsim begodim bechamishi b'shabbos. A person should wash his clothes on Thursday. Obviously, if you don't have clean clothes for Shabbos, this is for Shabbos. B'vnei kvod haShabbos, in honor of the Shabbos, that it's not honor for the Shabbos to come into the Shabbos without clean clothes. Okay, now let's take a look at the Mishnah Brura. Sifkat Nehemipnei. Hainu, what is this? That Ezra made it a kona, that you wash your clothes on Thursday. One second. Shkidei Shiyu Levonim B'Shabbos, so they should be white and clean on Shabbos. Avalo B'Erev Shabbos, but not to do it on Erev Shabbos. The question is, what? Maybe do it on Friday. No. You need to be freed up to do the work you need to do on Erev Shabbos. That's a whole different things you need to do. Remember, in those days, washing clothes was a serious thing. You just didn't drop it into the laundry machine. You went out to the river, took your bricks. You spent hours and hours trying to clean those clothes, schlepping it to the river, schlepping it back. So that's what was more of a Friday, Thursday activity. Well, if Fiza comes out, that if the main reason is for cleaning, so be careful not to wear one same garment for every Shabbos without washing it for Shabbos. So you do not go against the takona of Ezra. There's all kinds of footnotes over here, so let's do the Piskei Tshuva, and then we'll see if we're going to look at a few more footnotes over here. Piskei Tshuva says, okay, so he says, comes out, so Mishnah Berurah is basically saying it's to honor the Shabbos, and if you do it on Friday, you don't have time to do everything else. So it comes out nowadays, where the washing is done with a washing machine and there's not a lot of excessive activity, then you're allowed to wash an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, L'Kabbat Shabbos. And even if you're washing clothes for after Shabbos, you could do it on Friday. If there's not the concern, if that will take away from your preparing for Shabbos in a proper way. Okay. It's interesting. See how times have changed. If you ask a woman today, is it hard to do the laundry? She'll say yes. What do you mean? I got to gather the clothes up in the house. Yeah. I got to schlep the laundry bin down. I got to put it in the machine. And then I got to take it out of one machine and put it in another machine. And then I got to fold and sort. You know, so the whole thing, I don't know. I don't want to cast aspersions, but the whole thing doesn't take more than half an hour to do one load of laundry. If you're doing a load for Shabbos, you see. You just need to do the white shirts, you know. It's not like, nah, well, once I'm doing for Shabbos only one day, I do a whole week's worth of laundry. That's the way where it's going more than necessary. But anyway, you see from that, you know, you could do it on Friday if it's not going to interfere. So it comes out. So really... It comes out that really washing is not dafka on Erev Shabbos. What if, let's say, the clothes are already clean in the beginning of the week or from the last week? The clothes you need for Shabbos already clean. Okay? So, he says, still at all, so that's really true. But there are those who write, still, if it's possible to do it on Thursday dafka and not on Friday, it's always better. Whereas if you're doing it on Thursday, it's showing it's for this Shabbos. You're doing something that's showing it for Shabbos. And you don't want to make it more difficult on Friday. But technically, The whole idea is everything's ready. So if everything's ready, everything's ready. What do I care if it's ready in the beginning? Let's say on Motzi Shabbos, you already clean all the clothes that you wore on Shabbos. So it's not a stress for the rest of the week. You have time. You work. The wife works. She says, okay, Sunday I don't work. Sunday I'm doing all the laundry, so it'll be good for Shabbos. So I don't have to worry about it. Certainly you can do that. He's just saying, you know, optimally you would do it on Thursday to maintain the takana of the chachamim. Now, there is a whole bunch of interesting footnotes all over the place here. Okay, one second. No, that's nothing more over there. It's still over here. So the opinions who say she still try to do it on Friday or Wednesday, because Thursday or Wednesday, because from Wednesday already, it's already in coming into, it has the energy of the new Shabbos. That's what we say it on the Shir Shal Yom today. At the end, we say, what? At the end of the Yisam of the day, the last two, three lines are the part we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, to get ready for that. All right, the illumination of the soul of the coming Shabbos comes in. You get the level of nefesh. Your level of nefesh comes in on Wednesday. Your level of ruach comes in on Thursday. On Wednesday you get the nefesh. On Thursday you get the ruach, and on Friday you get the neshama. Get the extra aspects. So therefore, it's worthwhile to prepare for Shabbos on these days where you get those elevated levels of soul. All right. So bottom line is, optimally to do it on Thursday. Next optimal on Wednesday, and then anything else, if it's not going to interfere, then that's okay too. Main thing is you have clean clothes for Shabbos. Okay, let's now continue with the Ramah. The Ramah says, Nohagim Lalush, the custom is to knead bread, Kidei flour, right? Kidei shir chala babayis. They make enough, that's the amount that you'll be able to separate chala and do the mitzvah chala, to do it in your home. Lasos mehem luchomim, to make breads. Leif tso aleim b'shabbos, to break bread on them on Shabbos, v'yontav or on yontav. And we don't, in other words, as opposed to buying it from the baker. For whom it covered Shabbos for Yontif, and this is in the honor of the Shabbos and Yontif, Vein Lishanus, and you should not change this custom. This is what the Ramah says. Says the Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Vov, Kidei Shiur Chala, the amount of Chala, Hainu Milvad She'etzem Halisha Vafia, Hu Michlal Kvod Shabbos for Yontif. Even besides the fact that the actual kneading and baking of the dough and of the bread in your home on Erev Shabbos is included in honoring the Shabbos and the Yontif, Kimoshim Esayim Labsof, as Ramah says at the end of his words, that that's covered Shabbos and Yontif. Odiyesh Bozetam, there's another reason to do it, that's what he's saying now, Kidei Lakayim Mitzvah Schala, to fulfill a mitzvah of making challah. Lefi she'ibda es Adam harishon shehoya chalos shel Adam, because Chava caused for the destruction of first man, who was quote unquote the chala of the world. Okay, now why was Adam called the chala of the world? So my commentary says chala of the world is based on a medrash. It says that this is Adam harishon. who was the Shohaya Gomar Chaloshal, who's the end, the finality of the Chala of the world. Adam was called the Chala of the world. Okay, so then the Medrash goes on and says, this woman, she gets involved with the dough, with water, and the challah rises. So in the beginning, there was mist came from the earth, and that, if you look in the description of creation of first man, there's a mist coming from the earth, and then Hashem created the man from the ground. It's almost as if God mixed flour and water, earth and water, to make the first man. So the woman went and gave him the forbidden fruit, and we lost that first challah. So now it's a tikkun for that challah. Okay, as well as we know, according to opinions, that first food was a machlokas, right?
Wheat.
One opinion was wheat. So you make a tikkun on that. And the other opinion says it's wine. So you make a tikkun on that. So that's where we have challah. And we have wine. So you make a tikkun on, according to both opinions. Okay. Okay, 1 second. Interesting. See what's happening over here. The Adam really was the first chal of the world. Why? Because it's like Hashem. You got the earth. So it's like Hashem, you separate challah. You have the dough, you separate a piece of challah from the dough. So we have the earth, that's the earth, and the water that comes on the earth creates this mud, whatever. Now, as if Hashem scooped up a piece of challah of earth, and that was the man. You see, that was the challah that he made out of that. Okay? And therefore, and more than that, let's think now, you got this big batch of dough. Okay, now what do? You're not allowed to eat any of that dough. You're also to eat any of the dough. Now I go and take a little bit of this dough out. This is the challah, harezu challah. I put it over here. I'm supposed to give it to the kohen. And once I do that, then the rest of the dough is permitted to eat. Right? So that's the idea over here. The whole world really, and therefore I've repaired the dough. The dough was deficient because there was no challah taken off. Once the challah is taken off, now the dough is not deficient and it's useful now and I can eat from it. So too, the entire world was not really repaired until after the creation of man, because the whole purpose of the world was only for man. Man will now use the world in a proper way. So it was a tikkun on the earth. So it's a beautiful metaphor, where Adam was actually that dough that was the challah of the world. Hashem was the first one. You see, Hashem made challahs on Erev Shabbos. You see, it's Friday, right? Man was created on Friday, and Hashem made challah on Erev Shabbos. And that's the fix. And now the whole world is a useful world. So the same thing, when we take off challah, even though, and normally we would give it to the kohen. And now the coin, you know, that's elevated. Now it makes the rest of my food useful. So therefore, it's the inyan to do challah. All right, so that's where she messed up the challah of the world. Okay, who was, continuing the Mishnah Berurah, Shenivra b'Erev Shabbos, who was created at Erev Shabbos. Okay, I'm just looking at my commentary as well. Now you understand clearly why she's doing the mitzvah on Erev Shabbos, just like Hashem did it. And then they bring down the Machzor Shekel. Okay, so that's all. And therefore, we understand why the woman has to do it, because she brought the destruction also on Erev Shabbos. All right, fine. Therefore, Erev Shabbos is the time for women to make the tikkun on this. And now you understand why it's dafka on Erev Shabbos you have to make it. Because that's when the kilkel, the destruction was on Erev Shabbos. You have to do the repair on Erev Shabbos, exactly like that. So that's for the reason of tikkun. But the other reason, if it's for covered Shabbos, and there's other reasons that it should be Pas Yisrael, right? So then you really don't have to do a Dafka on Erev Shabbos. But the other commentators bring a lot of other reasons to do it on Erev Shabbos. Especially, however, okay, we'll see these other things. Let's finish up over here. Va'ayin b'achronim, and look in the achronim, da'afila nogim lecho pas palter, even those people who normally eat pas palter. What's pas palter? That's shel ein Yehudi. That's bread that's baked by a non-Jew, b'chol, in a weekday, from a bakery. Okay? So, even though many people are not so strict of pas Yisrael, mikomagam b'shabes v'yantav, and shabes v'yantav, nochem l'zor, be careful, so lechol ki imi pas Yisrael. It's only bread that a Jew made. Bipnake for the Shabbos, in honor of the Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, that's part of covered Shabbos and Yontif, where we're in making sure we're living with extra Kedusha. And although the food that a Goy, if the Goy makes kosher bread, it's kosher, we want it to be much holier when a Yid is involved in making it. Upashit, and it's obvious. The imhu onus, if it's beyond your control, she'ein lo amal l'kaddish, you have nothing to make kiddush on, ki imal pasha l'ein Yehudim, if you only can make moitzi on bread that a non-Jew made, but it's kosher. K'moshu motzi l'an shulchal avim, let's say the Jewish soldiers who have to eat what the goyim make for them, yachol l'kaddish, we can even make kiddush on challah, that's how far it goes, made from a non-Jew. Okay, let's take a look at the Piskei Tshuva on this part. Now, he brings down, so aside from the fact it's covered Shabbos, right, and aside fact to make a tikkun for the chait of Chava, also that the chalas, plain and simple, should be fresh and warm. Fresh and warm, just like the lechem upon him in the Beis HaMikdash was made on Erev Shabbos, it was fresh and warm. Another reason, okay, we said to separate challah, we did that. So therefore, because of these two reasons, you really should make it on Erev Shabbos Dafka, not on Thursday, not even on Thursday night. And the Ber Halacha brings a remez to that. In the Pasuk by the Mon, it says, it will be on the, by Yom HaShishi, on Friday, Vehechinu, and you will make your preparations, and that which you will bake, which seems to say you do the baking on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah then, you know, bemoans the fact. The Mishnah Berurah says, and due to our multitudes of sins, many women have stopped this minug, and they buy food from the bakery, and they minimize the covet of Shabbos. And really, that's what the Ramah was hinting to when he says, the Ramah himself said, Ve'ein lishnos, so you should not change this minig. And it's a very important thing. Okay, that's Mishnah Berurah said that 100 years ago. Okay, but nowadays, where you can get fresh, tasty challahs, and that are made special for Shabbos, not like bread. It's like, now you go to Sobeys, you have sliced white breads for the weekday, and special challahs for Shabbos that are baked Friday morning. Seeing it fresh, baked challah. Right? So there's reason to be more lenient, especially that since there's a lot of work that has to be done, especially in the Fridays in the winter, they're very short, and women are tired, and or they're pregnant, or they just gave birth to kids, and shalom bias is an important thing. So it wouldn't be a great idea where a woman is swamped with housework. The husband says, you know, you should make challahs for Erev Shabbos. Like, that would be like bonehead comment number one. You know? Because, now, if the woman wants to do it, that's altogether different. It's certainly meritorious. Certainly women who are, we'll call them empty nesters now, where there are no kids in the house. So what better thing can a woman do than bake challahs for Shabbos? That's a very spiritual thing. So I guess it's different periods in one's life. When you're swamped with lots of little kids, it's very hard. Okay, so you just pick up a couple challahs from the bakery. Okay, you haven't put a lot of effort. Yeah, but then that's the same as making challah in your house. Still takes time, right? Now, that's what he says. Oh, that's the next thing they just said. Let's say like this. Here's an interesting shiloh. Okay, let's say you don't have a big house. You're empty nesters. And if you're going, and you don't need to make, now when you're making challah, you're making enough challah to separate challah, you're making quite a few challahs. Many more than you'll need for Shabbos. Right? So now the question is like this. Should you make a very small amount of dough every week, bake challah special for Shabbos, but you're never going to fulfill the mitzvah of separating challah because you don't have enough dough that requires challah? You have to have a large amount, like different opinions. Some say 12 cups of flour, 15 cups of flour. That's a lot of flour. It's a lot of challahs. Just a husband and wife, how much challah do two people have to eat? So now the question is it better to make a lot in one time, make the bracha because you're separating challah and freeze the other challahs and then take them out for Shabbos? There's only a contemporary shaila. The shaila could not have been asked 50 years ago. Because if you made a lot, it would spoil by the next week. So, but that's a very good shaila. So, he says it's better to bake it all in one shot, separate the challah that you have for many Shabboses, and now you can freeze it, and that is the better way to do this. Very interesting. Now, we're not going to get into the shir challah. Now, once you separate that challah from the thing, Sheminutuk Lagamri, one second. Okay, so as soon as you've kind of separated the challah, then you make the bracha sher kirishon al hafrish challah mina isa, and then you say, harezu challah, this is challah. Initially, you should burn the challah, but if that's a hassle, so it's good enough if you cover it well in a little bag and throw it in the garbage. Okay, now he says the challah should be made in the shape of a vav. Okay, now vav is simple. It's just a straight challah. That's sort of a long, as opposed to a round challah, a long challah. So if it's a long challah, it's a shape of a vav, right? I don't know why. Where's 105? Oh. What's this? Tetzias hamoitzi k'ein os yud ve'eser esvos shnei ha'hein. Aha. Okay, very nice. So Shalal says, when you cut the challah, we'll see, the custom is to cut the first piece like a yud, which would be very hard to do, but you cut it like a yud. If you have your two hands holding the challah, you make the motzi. Five fingers is five, that's a hey. Five fingers is five, that's a hey. And the challah is shaped like a vav, so now you've got the letters yud, k, vav, k, as you're with the challah. So that's what should be shaped like a vav. Also, you have two challahs, right? So two challahs is two vavs. Two vavs is the gematria 12. Vav is 6, and vav is 6 is 12. And the lechem haponim in the Beis Hamikdash had 12 loaves of bread. Now, it's interesting. Some taka have a custom, and I used to know one person, that they would use 12 loaves of challah mamish. Now, two of them should be in the shape of a vav, okay? But the other six could be different. So, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, etc., we make round challahs for the other reasons. But anyway, so that's an interesting reason why we're going to make them in the shape of a vav. So now you know why you have long challahs. It's a good Dvar Torah to say this Shabbos. So it's preferable the woman should make long challah. I mean, that's a typical challah is a long challah, as opposed to these little bilkas, which are not actually vavs. Okay, we will stop over here and continue tomorrow.